Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the Easter Vigil, and the readings are from Cycle A.
You know, people's goodness is the best teacher. So an old story came to mind. Timothy Holyoake, friend and former parishioner, taught me a lesson about Jesus and about love. Now, Tim was from Ireland, and he had a deep Irish voice and brogue. I swear he could make listening to the phone book interesting. Yet he was deathly afraid of reading in church. He loved the parish, he loved the people in him. So, stealing his nerve, he volunteered to be the Palm Sunday lector and one of the readers of the Passion. On his way to the church, a distracted driver hit him on his motorcycle. Tim took flying lessons that evening. He suffered cuts and abrasions and a broken hand. Scraped and still bleeding, he arrived just minutes before Mass, and he was petrified that I would not let him read, but trundle him off to the emergency room. I certainly would have if I had known about the hand. Tim is Irish, stubborn, a natural actor, and savvy about things medical, so I figured I'll trust his judgment that he was fine. The stand-in was out, and he was back in line. And he read with extraordinary and touching eloquence. But now the surprise for me, I received an email the next day, and I quote, "I want to thank you for your support on Sunday evening. You were very kind to let me go on. It was very important to me that I do both the reading and the gospel. I had been very anxious about doing them for weeks. So when I found myself lying on the road, I decided right there I could not let this accident be my cop-out." No one wants to suffer cuts and abrasions, to break one's hands, or dislocate his knee. But Tim was just determined to read. And now he thanks me for allowing him to read, even though it meant suffering longer. I want to suggest that only the heart jumps at that kind of chance. Only the heart writes in the face of suffering, "Thank you." In Tim, I saw something of Jesus I had never really thought of before. The Easter resurrection is God's recreation of the world, Genesis chapter 1, and liberating us heart by heart like Exodus from what enslaves us. It is the victory of divine love over human failure. But it is more, and this sounds strange, it is God's email thanking us. It is Jesus saying thank you to those who allowed him to love them even in his pain. He's not saying thank you for the pain. He's no masochist. But he's saying thank you to all those who say yes to his invitation to be loved. Yes to his grace to be transformed. Yes, to being loved even unto death. Only lovers understand this. We say often that God is love, but forget that the greatest suffering for the lover is unreturned love. Broken bones are nothing compared to love unaccepted or rejected. God is a lover, and lovers delight. One of my heroes, Father Timothy Radcliffe, wrote of that delight. At the heart of the life of the Trinity is this mutual delight of the Father in the Son, and the Son in the Father, who is the Holy Spirit. There is joy on Good Friday, but we don't see it because of the overwhelming Good Friday darkness and death. Yet St. John calls the hour of darkness the hour of glory, for light has shone in the darkness. And that forgiving love. The size of God's love is seen on that Good Friday. Jesus explained, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. Do you take that seriously? Do you take it personally? The German Catholic philosopher, Josef Pieper, explain Jesus' joy simply. Love loves to love. Love loves to love. Tim embraced the suffering to become a gift of love. Even so, God delights in you and goes all the way for you. You know, our imagination of God in heaven is too small. When most Christians describe heaven, I am sure I don't want to go there. Thank God, God is more imaginative. Heaven should conjure up images of ecstasy, rapture, rapturous love, total delight. The 14th century Dominican mystic, Meister Eckhart, quote, describes God's joy as like the exuberance of a horse that runs around the field, kicking its heels in the air. That's joy. I beg you, don't think that pain pays sin's penalty. God does not rejoice in pain, but in the love that carries others' pain. We are saved not by suffering, but by receiving Jesus' own life and love into us. That's what makes me alive, is his life. It is love stronger than sin, stronger than death. It is God himself. You know, we are often like the women in the gospel who left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. And I say, what? They left the tomb quickly with fear and with great joy? Sometimes good news is too good. Don't fear it. Only you can let the gospel explode your fears and reticence. Let it destroy the false humility that says, I am not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. So what? What makes you worthy, holy, and saved is that God has decided to love you, and you gave him permission to. Let him love you. Worthiness is not your achievement, it is God's gift. Accept it. Don't play it safe. Be vulnerable to him and let him reshape you. C.S. Lewis does an interesting little description of the opposite side. And he wrote, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure to keep it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it safe in the coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven, the only place out of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. God and Jesus risk vulnerability. Why don't you? He gave himself at the Last Supper. He gives himself at every Eucharist. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is the cup of my blood. Follow the Spirit and live expansively, generously for others. Don't put God in the casket of a closed heart. So I ask, what habits of heart will you take on this Easter season? Tim was practicing the reading again and again. He entered into it. He invested himself in his parish. He poured himself into people. And in the process, he fell in love with Jesus Christ. What habit of Jesus' heart will you take on? Not give up, take on this Easter season. If you do, you might receive an email from Jesus saying, thank you. Now I want to say a special word of thanks to those being baptized, received, and confirmed. You know, for people to kind of take the time, especially at Stanford when everything is chaos, right? And simply dive into it, wrestle with it, face it, is an utter, absolute joy. It says to us that being alive is a choice you got to make, something you got to embrace, an adventure you have to live. Thank you to those being baptized, received, and confirmed this day.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.